Well, I was meeting with Pastor Maria this week, and she said, "How's your week going?" Well, I said, "I'm spending much of this week feeling anxious about giving a sermon on the theme of anxiety. Whose idea was this anyway?" "Yours," she said, without missing a beat. "Actually, it was a team effort to put this series together. We met as a worship staff and also had some members of the worship team giving input. We asked, what's big in your lives? Where are you looking for meaning? And what kept rising to the top was the heaviness and emotionally trying times so many have been experiencing lately. We envisioned this series, Jesus Wept, as a way to acknowledge and bring hope as followers of Jesus, that Jesus is with us through all the different kinds of emotions we experience. If you have experienced more stress and anxiety than usual, you're not alone. Caring for our mental health and emotional well-being are important to God and are a touchstone of this community of faith. The pandemic has certainly done its share to increase anxiety and exacerbate difficult situations. I found a video that talks about this a little bit. Let's watch.
There has been an increase in rates of kind of episodes of anxiety, symptoms of depression, substance use, and suicidal thoughts or ideations. We have seen an influx of patients and probably more children and adolescents as well than usual coming into the hospital with mental health needs. A big one would be isolation. And so cut off from family and friends is a big one. Inability to make appointments. Some patients are just not technologically savvy or have access to internet. So Zoom meetings and meetings with their providers were difficult and maybe sometimes only over the phone.
Part of what was making me anxious about addressing this topic this week is, as Pastor Maria also said last week, I'm not a therapist, and I don't play one on TV. Anxiety can be a real mental health condition, and as the video said, if you are struggling, it's important to talk to someone. There is help available, but it can be confusing and overwhelming, even figuring out where to start. Thankfully, we have some wonderful mental health professionals in our midst. Gina Newlander is a member of Our Saviors and a licensed school social worker. And she's going to be at a table after the service by the sign that says Q&A. She's got some helpful handouts about anxiety and resources about where you can get help. My role today, I believe, is to talk about stress and anxiety and worry, not so much from a clinical perspective, but from a faith perspective. So here goes. As people of faith, we know there's no escaping trouble in life. Jesus himself said in the Gospel of John that in this life we would experience tribulation and hardship. And thankfully, he didn't follow that up with statements like, so get over it, or ignore it, or figure it out on your own. Instead, he told his followers to take heart and be encouraged and hopeful. But if we're honest, we know that learning to overcome stress and worry and anxiety is often easier said than done. I've got three things to share today about bringing our anxiety before God. First is to focus on God's promises. God continually promises to remain at our side and be our strength during difficult times. But sometimes we find ourselves focusing on our problems and our seeming inability to solve them ourselves. Our reading today was from Paul's letter to the Philippian church, which was written during a time of immense personal stress for the apostle. He had long been in conflict with his former colleagues in the Jewish leadership. There had been multiple attempts on his life, and he was living under house arrest while waiting to take his case to Caesar in Rome. During that time, some people were preaching the gospel not because they believed that Jesus was the Messiah who came to save the world, but because they hoped it would cause additional trouble for Paul. Paul could have focused on their terrible motives, but instead, he responds like this. What does it matter just this, that Christ is proclaimed in every way, whether out of false motives or true, and in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. Wow, Paul rejoices in his letter because no matter what the motives of these individuals, the gospel was still being preached. Paul focused on God and God's promises and was able to find not just strength, but rejoicing. Later in the letter, he writes that the key to finding contentment and joy in every circumstance, good or ill, is by continually looking to Jesus for the strength to move forward. This is the verse from our reading for today. I can do all things from him who strengthens me. In short, Paul recognizes that what he focuses on, the problem or the promise, directly affects his mental and emotional state. It's important to note that the Bible doesn't shy away from issues like depression, anxiety, or fear. In fact, both the Old and the New Testaments are filled with accounts of men and women who struggle to hear God because of these very things. The words of lament and desperation of David and of the other psalmists fill many of the psalms we still turn to for comfort. And Paul and his companions confessed in 2 Corinthians the crushing despair they sometimes felt in the life and death challenges faced in their work. But then Paul gives thanks, saying that God had delivered them then, and God would continue to deliver them now. God promises to be with you and bring you hope, especially in times of difficulty and anxiety. May you hear that God's promises are for you and that God wants to bring you not just surviving, but to a place of rejoicing. The second key point to recognize is that we aren't meant to face our troubles alone. As individuals, it's vital to our overall well-being to have others we can safely reach out to when we're struggling with stress and anxiety and worry. When we share our burdens with others who care for us, it helps ease the pressure we're experiencing. Our vulnerability with each other can also encourage and help others who are facing similar struggles. One writer shared this in a guideposts blog a few years ago. One redeeming quality of my struggles is that I can apply whatever nuggets of wisdom I learn to make someone else's life easier. I can help others in new ways. I can be a better friend, a better listener. I can ask better questions. And I can empathize first before jumping into problem-solving mode. This gives me something constructive to do with my pain. When Paul wrote of his difficulties and despair in 2 Corinthians, he expressed the need for members of the body to come alongside him, recognizing that the combined prayers of the saints wouldn't benefit only him, but many others as well. If you've been in meetings or gatherings with me, you'll notice that I usually start them out by asking each person to share their high and their low from the week. In confirmation, we call that bummers and blessings. And then someone will pray for the group and what has been shared. I learned the importance of this practice the hard way. I'd been a pastor for a few years and had been having regular meetings with a committee that was mine to work with. So I'd been meeting with the same people for over a year. And at one meeting, a woman who was part of the committee really surprised me. She was negative, critical, and just unsupportive of everything we were trying to do. And this was fairly out of character for her. It was only after the meeting that I found out it was that very day her sister had been diagnosed with terminal cancer. She came to, from hearing that news, to our meeting, and we launched into our agenda without taking the time to touch base as people, as human beings with struggles, fears, and anxieties. I realized I had done a disservice to her that day and had missed an opportunity for myself and for others to minister to her. So So that's why it's important to me that we touch base as people first and hear God's word speak to us in scripture and in prayer before we begin the other items of the day. May you be someone who is a listener, a listening ear and a voice of prayer in a time of need for a fellow follower of Jesus. Finally, the third point I want to make today is that it's important we learn to be honest with ourselves and with God about what we're thinking and feeling. The Psalms we turn to in moments of joy, sorrow, or disillusionment exist because David and others chose to speak openly with the Lord about their greatest joys and their deepest concerns. Honesty in our communication with God through prayer, meditation, journaling, or other creative expression isn't really meant for God's benefit. God already knows what we're thinking and feeling. Rather, it's a practice that allows God room to speak into our hearts and open our eyes to places we might be attempting to control apart from God. And God is inviting us to a place of healing and restoration. But the truth is, sometimes we can't even put our thoughts and feelings into words, right? Nor does God need words from us. This kind of says it all sometimes, doesn't it? I remember a time when a young man from the church I was serving had asked to speak to me. I knew he'd been married about a year, and when he came in and sat down, he just kind of deflated like a balloon. Things were not going well in the marriage. There was hurt that he didn't know whether it was repairable, and he certainly wasn't living the vision of marriage he had hoped for. As I sat there, I remember thinking to myself and praying, actually, what's my role here? What's my role here? This couple certainly needed to see a marriage counselor, and we did get that arranged. But in that moment, I was looking to God for wisdom, for what could I give this young man in his faith? I realized it was to give him a way to pray. And what I shared with him is what I'd like to do with you today. It's probably the most useful way I know how to pray for myself, particularly when I'm feeling anxious. In fact, I was doing it in my office just before church this morning. So I'd like to invite you to join me. It's called a breath prayer, using the words, "Come, Holy Spirit." So please close your eyes if you feel comfortable. And as we breathe in deeply, we're going to softly say the word, "Come." And as we breathe out, we're going to say the words, "Holy Spirit." And we'll repeat it 5 times. So please join me. Come, Holy Spirit. 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 Thanks be to God for your loving care of yourself and others, especially when you feel anxious. May God's presence comfort you, sustain you, and give you peace.